back to Matt Flynn, direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to come in on the Keystone Pipeline. Fortunately, they pulled the plug on it. This was a pipeline that was going to extend from Alberta, Canada, roughly, to the Gulf of Mexico, all the way through the United States. If it ever leaked, you know, if they ever had a disruption along the way, thousands of miles through the United States. There's a lot more efficient and better way of conveying fuel. You can do it by ship, for instance. And number two, we are slowly weaning ourselves off of fossil fuel. General Motors is going to go to all electric cars by the year 2035. This is not the time to disrupt the United States with that kind of a pipeline. Trump was for it, gave it permits. Biden pulled some of the permits that Trump had issued, certainly up in the Arctic. On this particular one, there were demonstrations. And finally, it was Keystone Pipeline itself that said, we are going to pull the plug. It was going to ship crude oil. We'll ship it some other way, the way you normally ship it. Ship it by ship. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. And then eventually, not in my lifetime, we'll go on to all other fuels, but we're in the process of doing it now. So, Keystone Pipeline, the plug was pulled on it. It was pulled on it by Keystone Pipeline after they finally got the message. Finally got the message that we don't want it. It's bad environmentally. We like the people of Canada who produce this fuel, this crude oil for fuel. There are other ways of getting it down other than a pipeline that goes thousands of miles through the United States, twisting and turning. You can have some. We had a disruption over near Fort Atkinson, a smaller pipeline. We don't want leakage. We don't want leakage into groundwater, to lake streams. We don't want leakage, period. This is not an environmentally sound way to do it. So good news, the Keystone Pipeline got yanked. Okay, we're going to the lines. We have Slammer. You're back for second helping, Slammer. So thanks for calling. What's on your mind today now?
Yeah, I couldn't help but bite on that one, Matt. The issue with the ships coming to Venezuela from Iran, obviously this is a test of our resolve with our new president. The old one probably would have welcomed them with open arms and created some vast excuse for why it's such a good idea. But in this particular case, I would imagine we could set up a blockade someplace that seemed well short of where they're going to arrive. Obviously, our intel says that they know where they're going. They know what they're loaded with. Turn them back. Make Iran eat them.
Right. Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I think Iran can't back down. They've never sent ships like this into the Atlantic before. This is the 21st century. They're just getting around to doing it. And it's loaded. We're fairly certain our intelligence service is loaded with missiles. Why are they sending it to Venezuela and Cuba? No doubt in my mind that Biden will block it if he has to, but he's already made it clear to Cuba and Venezuela that they have got to turn them back themselves. That's the easiest way to do it. And if they don't do it, you know, for a while we had normalized relations with Cuba under Obama. Trump interfered with that, but the fact of the matter is that Cuba has been a communist country so long, going back to Castro, the 59-60 era. That's 60 years. Old habits die hard. They die hard. And you need reliable countries near our borders. We're the leader of Western civilization, the free world, and the Western alliance, and we're not going to tolerate missiles close to us like that. If somehow they got snuck in, we'd have to take them out. Venezuela was our ally and friend, and at one time, the wealthiest country in South America, and it can be again. But this toxic government they have has got to go. You know, the other thing is, everybody is all starry-eyed about things like immigration, and let me tell you something. Venezuela is a strong ally of the United States historically and should be again. But you have, for instance, the president of Honduras taking a $1 million bribe from drug cartels. Testimony at the El Chapo trial that the president of Mexico a few times ago got $100 million from the cartels. The Secretary of Defense was paid for the, by the cartels, tipped them off. Mexico and their parliament threatened to expose our agents if we didn't return them for trial there. We did, and they released them and praised them. They gave them an award. You've got to understand something. There are crooked governments down there. The president of El Salvador right now is a Muslim who has shut down their Supreme Court and is imposed authoritarian rule on El Salvador. And yet El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras have brought in more than 300,000 immigrants illegally into this country since October. Okay? So let's talk about facts. Let's talk about history. None of this is good. None of this is good. If you had honest governments who work with the United States, we will provide significant financial resources. And everybody on the left goes, oh, well, what did the CIA do in the 1950s? I know what they did in the 1950s, and it wasn't good. Okay, deal with it. This is the 2020s. Deal with it. Let's get on here. And it's going to start with keeping missiles from Iran out of Venezuela and Cuba. Well, speaking of El Chapo, his wife finally pled guilty to felonies for helping him run the drug cartel, helping him escape in Mexico, monitored his trial. His wife was a beauty queen, met him when she was 17. He was 40 some odd. They married, and she has been part of his cartel. So she just got nabbed. I always wondered, Trump was president, why she is permitted to roam around, you know, pose for magazine pictures. Celebrity, come on. Come on. Well, El Chapo's wife finally pled guilty, and she should get a very long jail sentence, a very, very long jail sentence. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Oh, good morning, Matt. So much going on. I tell you, Biden's plate is really full. Bipartisanship does not exist. I don't know how many times you have to say this. Look at this state. At any rate, how long does Biden have to get any of this agenda pushed through? The end of this year? Or, I don't know. It's just, when you can't even get together on infrastructure, something everybody needs, maybe the Democrats need new leadership or something. It's anyway, that's my question this morning. Thanks, Matt. Bye.
Yeah, excellent question, Paul. I mean, here's the deal. Let's be really blunt. Everybody's going, well, we have 50 votes and we have Kamala Harris. So what's the problem? You know, budget reconciliation, blah, blah, blah. You know, we don't have 50 votes, Paul. We do not have 50 votes. Manchin is not a reliable vote. Kyrsten Sinema is not a reliable vote. And if we're down to 49, let's say that in Georgia, instead of picking up two seats and Raphael Warnock and Jonathan Ossoff, thank God we picked them up. Let's say we only picked up one. You know something? Everybody thought that was great because we didn't have any. But at 49-51, Moscow Mitch has complete subservient control by them, deference by them, and Biden wouldn't get through anything. Because we have a Manchin, technically a Democrat, he goes, oh, well, we can do anything. Well, we can't do anything because Manchin is not a Democrat in the full sense of the word. Yes, he voted to convict Donald Trump. Yes, he can vote on Ukraine, the impeachment on Ukraine, the impeachment on January 6th. And he did vote for the first COVID relief bill, and he done a lot of good things. He's making a serious miscalculation that somehow they will like him better in West Virginia and reelect him in you know, this upcoming election the next time he's up if he does these things. I think he's dead wrong. There's an old saying, goes back to Talleyrand, French statesman in the early 19th century. Somebody said something to him about something. He says, it's worse than a crime. It's a blunder. It's worse than a crime. It's a blunder. What Manchin is doing is worse than a crime. It's a blunder. Because he ain't getting reelected simply because he's doing this. He may not get reelected at all, in which case he should do the right thing. But if he is going to get reelected at all, he should follow Sherrod Brown's playbook. And Sherrod Brown, good man, very far to the left, very far to the left in a red state. And he gets up and he runs, and this is what I believe. Hogan says that's very far to the left. But people said, you know something? I trust Sherrod Brown. He'll tell it straight. And actually, I like some of his stuff. And the stuff I don't like, oh, well. So, Paul, we don't have 50 Democrats. We have 49 and a half Democrats. That's what we have. Biden's a good negotiator. We got to work with what we got. We got to work with what we got. And I think what they're trying to do is stroke Manchin now on SB1. He's willing to go with the John Lewis Voting Rights Act component of it. Great. What more will he go with it? Then we have to decide. Because we ain't getting nothing if he doesn't throw us a vote. We're not getting anything. And then when it comes to infrastructure, what it's really coming down to, is how much, what kind of a price does he want to extract from us? And it ain't great. It ain't great. Sausage making. I don't like it. But let's get real. We have 49 and a half Democratic votes. Going back to the lines, and we have, let's see, who do we have from Monona? Yuri from Monona. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Yes. Well, you know, it's interesting, this whole idea getting rid of the filibuster, because the Democrats might lose the Senate in 2022, and then they would be up, you know, up the creek with no paddle. You do this thing. You say Moscow and Michelot, and you say the whole thing about Russia, Russia, Russia. And it's kind of like, say kind of Cold War, xenophobia. You can kind of throw it out. You wouldn't throw that out at the Chinese or other countries because it would be obviously racist. But, you know, you can make fun of Russians and make up stuff about them because, well, it's not racist necessarily. And, you know, I mean, it's just a very odd thing you do. I know a lot of better name for Mitch McConnell. They call him Cocaine Mitch because of all those drugs that were found on his family boat. But, you know, you like to attack the Russians. I mean, here's a good attack. If you like attack, remember there was a candidate in 2018. He ran for governor. Then it turned out he helped all the Catholic priests get away with molesting children.
Are you calling from Moscow? Where are you calling from? Are you Russian? Look, here's the deal. I hope you are. I like the Russian people. I was over in Moscow and St. Petersburg. I like him. I don't like commie leadership and organized crime. Okay, we're going to the break. I'll respond some more afterwards. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.